Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
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 Hello and welcome to another movie podcast, the show that covers every movie on the planet that we decide to review because exactly. We want to, and that's all that's available to us. I am Oscar, and with me today is...
Luke.
And Raphael.
Today's show will consist of three films. I know that last time we told you we were going to do four or five, and that went off. Shut
up. Overambitiousness.
Well, what
funny thing is I saw four of them.
What had happened
was
one of them we couldn't get, La La Land, the main one we wanted.
Right, it's not available in Chicago. It's only LA.
It was available for one day, I'm sorry.
Really, one day?
Yeah, I think it was like 1 or 2 days, and that was the same release date as, what's it called? New York and LA time.
Okay.
And then now we're not getting it until tomorrow.
Right.
Not tomorrow.
Yeah, but this weekend, that the show actually comes out.
Exactly. Right.
Gotcha. And then the other one was Nocturnal Animals. We're not going to do that one either. We just didn't have time communally.
Yeah, we didn't have time.
I saw it.
Right.
And I'll talk about it a little bit here.
But. Exactly.
And then Mozilla and Jackie, we just missed.
Literally, we were gonna do it.
Life
got in the way for sure.
Really badly. Yeah. So instead, we'll be reviewing a critically acclaimed film called American Honey. It came out of, I believe, Sundance and Cannes and Ontario and all those places. TIFF, I think, was a major one. Not 100%. And came out like swinging. And everyone's been raving about it critically wise. And now it's finally available to rent. And not to rent, but to buy at least on iTunes because I had to buy it straight out. And I did buy it. I blind bought it, and we watched it, and we're going to review that. As well as we're going to be reviewing Paul Verhoeven. God, when was the last time you heard his name? Paul Verhoeven's latest... You don't know him?
No.
He did. He directed RoboCop and Total Recall.
Oh,
and Starship Troopers.
This guy
and
is.
Showgirls. That's the guy who did that. I thought you guys knew his name. Anyway, Paul Verhoeven's latest film, L. Or is it Ellie?
L?
L, sorry. Yeah. E-L-L-E, which is a French film, or at least made in France. I mean, I don't know. He's from the... Is he Swedish or something? Verhoeven, I think so. Anyway, and we'll end our review with an Amazon like produced film called Complete Unknown. Anyway, it's on Amazon, their Prime subscription membership watch list thing. And I think I saw their studios logo when I watched the film. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure it's
one
Amazon
of their
studios, yeah.
Like Netflix, you know, have their own movies.
Right, Amazon's exactly. Doing only on Netflix or to buy.
Right, and Amazon has been doing a lot this year to like catch up to that shit.
Amazon's like
on fire.
But the difference is now at least Netflix goes like, hey, we have all year of stuff.
Right.
Amazon goes like, here's December and November. Fuck you all. Like,
and then we all scrambling to catch
right.
up. Yeah. Anyway, those are the three films we'll be reviewing. Feedback can always be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Check out our website, otherpodcast.com, to hear all the notes and stuff. There's a page, an extra page or two I'm going to add to that to talk about our end-of-year stuff, little extra stuff that are going on there, and other marathons we're going to be discussing in 2017. It's going to be fun. So check it out there. Detailed show notes are provided for you and all this information on every show you watch on any podcast catcher of your choice. And last but not least, our bonus episode for the month. For those who may not know, every month we do a bonus episode of a film that is either popular or we really want to see that we don't have time for in our normally released podcast. And we would give it to those who are happy to donate to our little indie podcast on the month of December, in this case, December. So for those who donate, gets the obviously revered, much anticipated Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Is that the full title? Or is it a Rogue One? It's just Rogue One, right?
I thought it would be Star Wars Rogue One.
Huh. I thought it was Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Either way, I think the audience knows what I'm talking about. That little indie film that's catching on big. Shut up. Dino Fire. So if you donate any amount, you'll get that bonus episode in your email bag at the end of this month as a Happy Holidays kind of tribute thing. And for those who don't, we'll get it like 3 or 4 months later in advance. Anyway, before we get started on our main reviews, we're going to talk about a little bit about what we've been watching. And we're going to start with Luke this time. Luke, you have a movie for us. What did you watch recently?
I finally watched Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, last year's little darling movie.
Right, that you loved.
I love that movie. I've seen it like 2-3 times since last year. Yeah,
I've always like meant to watch it, but I finally got a chance, so...
So did you find a soul, or did you appear to this movie soulless? What the fuck happened, huh? Saoirse Ronan, you're going to say no to that pretty face, huh?
Who?
That main actress.
Oh, God, yes.
Really?
Yeah, she's not that pretty.
I think she's pretty. Well, either way.
Pretty ugly.
Fucking Christ.
No, it was...
We know where this review is going.
It was a pretty decent movie for the most part. I kind of felt like I didn't care for her at the end. I want to just slap her and be like, bitch, go back to America.
Go.
You're fucking married.
She did.
Exactly. But there was that point where she was just like getting everything she did she didn't get in Ireland. So
I
was like, you're married. You're done for.
Spoiler alert for a Euro movie.
Right.
But she goes back.
No, I don't have to watch this movie.
No, watch it. It's good.
You like?
You haven't seen it, Ralph?
Check it out, though. You might like it.
What's wrong with you, Ralph?
I thought Eddie Redmayne.
You have a soul, Ralph. So. You will like this movie.
No, he's not in this
movie. No,
actually, he is. He plays a tree.
Dude, aren't they the most cutest couple, though?
Yeah,
ever?
They're stupid cute.
But they're cute as fuck.
Yeah.
They're little bunny rabbits.
They're like plenty of little Irish...
Italian
kids, yeah.
Well, they do, you know, like to multiply. All right, that's cool. That's Brooklyn. You're middling to okay, right?
I'm guessing? More towards the better half.
Okay, cool. Now, what I've been watching in our scramble to watch the films we promised last time, I saw Nocturnal Animals. I saw Manchester by the Sea. I saw Loving. I saw O.J. Made in America. I finally finished that one. So I'm going to talk about like half of those, and then I'll save the other half for a later date.
Pretty good, Don.
Real quick, I'll talk about first Nocturnal Animals. Anyone know about this film?
Is it about owls?
You wish. Or coyotes? Coyotes? Or bats? No. Anyone saw that trailer? I mean, we were going to watch this movie.
I had seen no trailer.
This is a Tom Ford movie, the guy who did A Single Man a few years back. Actually, more like 6 years back. If anybody saw that movie. Anyway.
I don't need to see it. I live it.
It's funny because if you know that movie, you wouldn't have said that.
I think I might have seen it. I don't know, but I might be just.
I have the DVD. It's ones. Pretty good. Colin Firth knocks it out.
Was it like? Then I probably might have seen it.
DVD.
The weekend. Anyway, this is a messed up movie, guys. I'm just gonna off the bat. Like when it comes out, whenever it comes out, I would suggest it for you guys to watch it only because I want to know. If my opinions are service well, I want to talk about it with somebody. It doesn't off air is fine. And Nocturnal Animals, it starts with Jake Gyllenhaal and Amy Adams. Amy Adams plays. It's like a story within a story. Amy Adams is this art curator, bitch person, and gets a call or a manuscript from her ex husband, who is played by Jake Gyllenhaal. And in flashbacks, you get to see what they were in love before she was rich and famous. And the manuscript is a very personal book. And then the movie delves into the story of the book. So when she's reading the book, we're seeing the story live or in a movie, as you know. So that's the third storyline.
Really. Okay.
And that main actor, that main character in that book stars Jake Gyllenhaal too. So it's really a little, you know, autobiographical, of course, very out there and not out there, but very in your face about it. And it is sometimes, is that confusing? It's very damaging. Like, it feels like it's one of the movies that created the most dread for me and suspense. I was in that movie theater, both very frustrated over this character's actions at every turn because he could have done something like 50,000 times. And it involves a murder and rape of his wife and daughter that he can't.
Spoiler?
No, it's like in the beginning. And in the book, I mean, the book version. And so the rest of the story is, you know, him figuring it out and finding who did it and what. And it ends really not confusing, but I'm mixed to great because I don't know if I want to love this movie or if I want to hate it. And not 100%. So I feel like I want to talk about it with someone. But it turned out to be a pretty interesting viewing for me when I saw it in theaters. So that's Nocturnal Animals. The last movie I'm going to describe here is Manchester by the Sea. Anybody know anything about this movie?
Manchester's in England.
Roth?
Yes. New England. Continue.
London. Britain.
Britain.
The UK.
Britain, you mean?
There's two teams called with the title
Okay,
Manchester.
I want to see how far you guys take this. Go ahead.
Manchester United and Manchester City.
Is that it? Are you guys done?
Correct. Notice we said football and not soccer.
Right. Anyway, this is the film that's another one like American Honey, very critically appealing. Darling came out of Sundance as well and all those shit.
Kenny's.
It won something big. I forget what. And a lot of people are saying it's going to be Oscar buzz contender type of deal.
Anyway, Grammy?
Grammy, yes. Yeah, going to win a Grammy. This is the latest by writer-director Kenneth Lonergan. Anyone remember that name? I remember he has controversy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. How could you forget? Yeah, yeah.
It's like right next to Spielberg.
No, That means, though, we do not remember who he is.
Anyone? I forgot already.
Anyone remember Margaret?
Margaret what?
The movie. God, the movie, yes. Margaret.
No, I never saw it.
The controversy. Yes, the
I
never movie.
Saw it. I saw it.
The movie that was made before True Blood came out and came out way after True Blood season 7. It was like that long in a gap of making that controversy of that movie. That was the last movie.
I got you.
So dicks, all of you. Let me read the thing real quick. And oh Jesus, that's so long. Okay, here. And
dicks, all of it. Oh Jesus, that's so long. That is a very interesting.
Yep. An uncle is forced to take care of his teenage nephew after the boy's father dies. Now all that long dick stuff is making me regret saying all that. It stars Casey Affleck. Primarily as the uncle, and Michelle Williams is in it, Kyle Chandler's in it, Lucas Hedges is the nephew he has to take care of, and this is a just like drama, almost dramedy, so some moments of comedy for me. I saw this in theaters, and man, like I feel like it's a movie that's so it's so dark and yet with so much light to it that I don't know if I should be crying or not half the time of the movie. Awkward. Is anyone silence. Interested in watching this movie?
I sort of was.
I don't want to spoil it if you guys are interested in watching it.
Okay.
I'm not going to spoil the whole thing.
Did you watch it?
But it is.
Which one?
Manchester by the Sea?
No, he's never seen that.
I saw Margaret.
He doesn't watch any movie unless we tell him to watch it for the show.
That's a lie.
Give or take.
Saw Brooklyn.
That isn't a documentary.
See? It took him a year, but he saw it.
Yeah. So next year, Manchester by the Sea.
That's okay.
By Luke.
2 years later, I'll see that one.
Yeah. It's very, I think I loved it, but I will never watch it again. It's just so. It's so realistic to the way trauma is felt, at least in this particular point of view of a Bostonite or a Massachusetts person. So they have the whole accent thing going on. And Casey Affleck knocks it out of the park for sure. He is really good playing a very, like, a person that just went through something really horrible. And you get to see in flashbacks certain things. And the way flashbacks works in this movie, he mainly deals with his recently deceased brother, played by Kyle Chandler, who dies in the beginning of the movie. And he is... he gets memories from him from, like, in a very naturalistic way. Like, he'll go into, he'll drive around a block of a house, and he'll see a tree that he used to play with his brother, and it will spark a memory, for example. Like, everything works that way. So it's very, like, jarring the way flashbacks work in the movie. And sometimes you don't know you're in a flashback until something tells you that it is. You know, something like, oh, Calhoun is still alive in this one. So clearly it's a flashback.
Oh, okay.
For example. Like, you won't know immediately.
So it does that thing where you're supposed to, like, I'm remembering something.
And when it goes back to present, which is the original scene you were in, you know immediately what reminded him of that, and it makes sense instantly in your head. So it's not like a bad thing, but it can be a little jarring. But barring that, man, the disaster that, like, basically defines the man's life and the reason he has to come back and all that, it's devastating. It is devastating, and it should not be taken too lightly. So go in there with hopefully not suicidal tendencies. That's all I'm saying. So that's Manchester by the Sea, currently in theaters. I do recommend it, but just watch it once. Anyway, now let's get started on our films here to review. And we'll begin with Andrea Arnold's American Honey.
Just takes one step. Once you get this one fucking step down, you're the chief of the tribe. And I'm gonna teach you that one step today. You know what I'm saying? Basically, as soon as they open that door and look at you, that's the critical moment. That's the make or break moment. Because in that second, you gotta work them, you gotta read them, you gotta be able to scan them and figure them out, figure out what kind of person that person wants in their life. Then you gotta be that person, you know? So, like, a couple of the other agents are really rigid about the five sales steps and all this shit. And so they'll pick a spiel that's like some sad shit, like, Mama's got cancer, or my fucking foot is falling off. I'm trying to get my life back together. You know, I got a little lost there in my teens, and I'm really working on myself, man. And, oh, you know, my dad, he died in Iraq. Any sad spiel, and they'll just say it over and over and over again until it's meaningless. This person doesn't give a fuck about magazines, right? They want something from me. So if I'm a G, I'm going to figure out what that something is, and I'm going to work that.
Yeah.
And that's a power agent.
A teenage girl with nothing to lose joins a traveling magazine sales crew and gets caught up in a whirlwind of hard partying, law-bending, and young love as she crisscrosses the Midwest with a band of misfits.
Law-breaking, you mean?
Sure. American Honey, this 2-hour and 43-minute movie,
Wait, you said 2 hours? I thought it was 3 hours.
2:43. Okay. Starring Sasha Lena Starr, Shia LaBeouf, or Shia LaBeouf as Jake.
Yeah, let's see how many times we can mispronounce this guy's name.
Who cares? And everybody else is unknown, I guess, for me anyway. So
all of them are unknown. The main actress is unknown too. Like, I think she was
picked up from a trailer park.
I know, like, almost like she was one of those magazine sellers, I think.
Ah.
Or like she traveled with Andrew Arnold, who traveled for a year and researched for this movie with a bunch of magazine, like this kind of people, and traveled the countryside to understand her because she's from England. She done
this is the
there.
Official selection of the Cannes the films.
That's a Cannes, this one. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a very well-researched thing. It's the equivalent of Oliver Stone doing coke so he can write Scarface in the 60s, you know?
Or just trying to get it as coke written off.
Oh, coke written off as a tax-exempt thing or something, you know, or whatever. But it's like that. Like, you know, the writers and directors getting into the roles of their characters.
I got you.
As well as they can. And I think she picked up this girl because she was just too fascinating not to, you know, to ignore.
Right.
That's my understanding. Again, this is all, like, from what I heard from another person, so... hope I'm right. All right, Ralph, you quote-unquote picked this movie.
Not really, sure.
You succumbed to our...
I succumbed to...
That's a good answer. There you go.
...to time. What did you think?
It's interesting. I don't know if I'm... I mean, am I just looking at a life of these type of people? And that's the point. But I liked what I saw. Okay, so yeah, overall this movie, I want to say I enjoyed it. It's really fresh. I just saw it a couple hours ago, so I can't.
We all did.
Right. We all did. But I'm saying, like, I haven't let this movie sit, and unfortunately, I think that's the side effect of this movie so far. I haven't let it sit, and so I think I probably could enjoy it, or maybe enjoy what's done in this movie more. But although from what I saw, I didn't hate, and I kind of felt sad actually a little bit from what I saw. So overall, I'm gonna say yay at the moment.
Yay.
Okay. Yeah,
we'll
get more into it because I don't know what's spoiler or not. Luke, what did you think?
Overall, I kind of really enjoyed the movie. However, there's some very blatant things that I didn't like with it. Primarily, like the main actress, I was very infuriated by her at times. But I think that's what the movie wanted me to do because okay. She's so young and immature. And just the length of the movie kind of seems draw on you.
Also, for people like us, and you too, Ralph, and this guy, I know you don't, you work for yourself these days more than like Luke and I, we work for people in corporations.
Sure.
But like the idea of like orientation at a new job, we're the opposite of her. We are the opposite. For example, like she joins, for those who may not know, I know we read the description, but she's out, she gets hired as a magazine seller that goes cross-country with a bunch of people that do the same. Yeah. And she has to meet, not a quota, but she makes her own money to keep the living going.
One of those old Gil jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, the old Gil, like I want a new pair of shoes. And Shia LaBeouf, who plays the main, the quote-unquote manager of them, but not really the real top seller.
Recruiter
also. Recruits her and shows her the ropes, gives her the one day, fresh day, first week thing, and he's trying to teach her, and she very clearly doesn't take it very well, and doesn't.
Oh, so furious!
The work, yeah, I mean, the work ethic is just the opposite of what I was saying. Was
right, although he is really good.
I have a little quibbles about that, or question about that, if he's actually good or if he is just like a charlatan who has no shame, and the fact that he has no shame. Much like maybe strippers or pornographers, like yeah, they can make a lot of money if you have no shame, but doesn't mean you're talented. You know, I feel like that's the case for him. I don't think he's a really good salesman. I just think he has no shame.
Well, I think as getting to the charlatan part, I think he's good at what he does as like getting information of how to read a person. That's what he's good at. And then, yeah, maybe just like...
I know, he sees the bobblehead of Jesus in the back of a...
Right.
I mean, it didn't work, but he knew how to get in. He just started singing a hymn.
Right, exactly. He knows how to get into things.
Right.
So that's his part.
He knows how to get into her.
Right. That's true.
Okay.
But that's his parlor trick, right? But that's,
right.
But other than that, he's really good at it. I mean, he's mastered that sleight of hand, if you want to look at it.
I guess. Right. Yeah. He's like a magician. Doesn't have magic, but he's a magician.
Exactly. You'll never see him anywhere on stage. But he has good sleight of hand, and he can show you some magic tricks.
Like a low-key David Blaine. Very low-key.
Yeah.
I thought that this movie is pretty fantastic. I don't know. I feel like it's not for me. I can recognize the power of this movie. I can recognize how it's so easy to live in these people's skins. Like, I really didn't feel the 3 hours or the 2:45, whatever. I didn't feel it so much. Like there was some, I did not feel long at all to me. Maybe one scene felt like a very, like a scene that was inputted into this great story as opposed to a scene that goes with everything. That I'll talk about eventually. And, but otherwise, I felt like I wanted to be as bohemian and as free, quote unquote free, but they're not really free. They have their own boss too. As these people are. I almost wanted to sing songs that Rihanna songs with them and play those games and shit like that, you know? Did anyone else get that feeling? I mean, I know that we're not like that, but.
No, we're the complete opposite.
But I feel like it's something freeing in what we're watching.
Yes.
And I think we're supposed to get that. There's a reason why we see a lot of those scenes.
I think one of the great things. Yeah. Oh, yeah, lots of that.
Yeah.
But I think one of the feelings that I got was, man, they're going to be adults, so they're going to tell eventually if they have kids, if any of them have kids, or if anyone, whatever happens down the line, they're going to be able to see, like, yeah, I've been to all of these states.
Yeah, he's like Johnny Cash song that's been everywhere.
Right,
whatever.
Right.
I've been everywhere, man.
You get to actually say, like, yeah, I traveled. Yeah. I did things like that, you know? A lot of people don't, and a lot of people don't in the Midwest. And that's the type of people that... There are people who are stuck, especially from the first place they are.
The people that they meet are stuck,
right,
exactly. People.
The first people that they meet, right? When you meet Star, that town feels super stuck. And then the town at the end then, which they also felt super stuck.
I mean, she feels stuck. Even the first home they go into with those teenagers dancing promiscuously in front of Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Jake, I think his name is. Even they feel stuck. And even though they were kind of rich and Christian and upcoming and they look put together, but the way she just like, yeah, I'm a good Christian woman. You've been here long enough. Get out of here, you know. She didn't really mean it. Right. You know, her niceness, she's just doing it because the Bible said so, not because she wanted to. There's a big difference there, guys.
There is a big difference. And he calls him out on that. He called her.
Yeah, not that that matters at that point because he was lying his way in. But I was like, when he got into the door, I'm like, oh, we got into the door. Was the last time anyone trying to sell anything got in the door with anyone that we know?
Nope.
Right? Well, also in Chicago, I don't know if that's part of our shtick, but... Stickle of fried. Sorry. So, and one other thing you mentioned earlier, Ralph, that this movie is too fresh and maybe you should let it settle. I think the whole movie is very much in the now, and that's another thing that it captures, and maybe why it's better for us to review it a few hours after watching it, because I think it puts us in the same position that all these characters are in. They all live in the now. No one thinks of the future. I mean, there's that one time that the main girl, Star, asks Jake about, what do you think, hopes or dreams or something. She asks about dreams, and he's like, you mean future dreams? And that's the one time anyone ever thinks about the day after tomorrow in that movie. And I think the way of putting yourself in the now only and these people living in there is part of how we should view it too. Like, and what do you think that means, like, for us, I guess?
Well, actually, what I think is Star comes out with hopes and dreams into this convoy, caravan of people.
Yeah, I guess. I mean...
Because she sees it out, right, of her stuckness, right? And of her actually just kind of living to the next day, right?
Right.
I make it to the next day, and if I don't, I don't. If I do, I do, right? And then she ends the movie with her being like, okay, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with living with whatever I do today is great. Whatever happens tomorrow happens tomorrow. I don't have to look into the future anymore.
Right.
And I think that's how it ends. It's not her sense of wonderment or her sense of dreams being killed or being thought out or whatever. It's just like maybe a sense of like
that's
realness.
That's an interesting point of view.
Maybe a sense of like kind of like realness of like growing up. There is hopes and dreams by all means. Yes, if you can reach them, you can do them or whatever, right? But at the same time, like you also have to prepare for the here and now.
Yeah.
Like you can dream all you want, but is that helping you today?
True.
So
what do you think about that, Luke?
Dream all you want, but man, at the end of the day, you got to take a shower.
Bro, I don't think I saw anybody take a shower.
Smelly kids.
Likely. I mean, it opens with her dumpster diving to feed her, I assume, like adopted kids.
They're not adopted. It's like siblings. They're her sisters or something?
Yeah, I think
I don't know, but I mean, it could be a mother from
one
another.
One was a kid. No, one was a boy.
One boy, one girl.
Yeah, one boy, one girl. And they seem very, like they depended on her, and she left them. And that's a hard way to introduce a character. But also, we got to see it that they were never her responsibility only.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, she is leaving them. So it's a very confusing, polar thing going on there for the audience to experience because we don't know what to feel about the Star character. And also, I love the idea that only Shia LaBeouf, I think I recognize Crystal crystal clear. As an actress, I've seen her in other stuff before. But
I might have, yeah.
But I, everyone else are nobodies to me. It's like the kids, watching kids, the movie, you know, or something like that. They're all like nobodies, no known actors.
No, Rosario Dawson's in there. She's somebody.
Is she in that movie?
Yeah.
You mean Chloe Sevigny?
No.
Is Rosario Dawson? No, no, I know the main actress isn't it. I'm saying, but mainly a cast of people we don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter, doesn't matter.
Speaking of kids, you'll hear a kid.
I think the idea of having a character, a leading actress who we don't recognize and don't know is a clean palette for what to expect out of her, because we are just as surprised.
Yep,
okay. She's in it.
Yep, she was Rudy.
Ruby.
I mean,
Ruby.
I haven't seen her in a while, so yeah, Rudy. So yeah. Anyway, I think it goes part of that too. Not just Andrea Arnold choosing someone genuine. Yeah, that goes with it too. But I think the idea of having a star actress, or star lead or whatever, as a star, isn't someone we know. And I think that's part of why we, in the beginning, I felt conflicted whether I should I feel like anger towards Star for leaving these siblings behind?
Well, I thought that was
very shadily too.
I thought that was fucked up. Completely.
Very shady.
But I knew she was running away. I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Shit!
I was like,
oh yeah, the mother knew.
On my kid forever, all the time.
The mother
I'll go to the bathroom. I'll be back.
I mean, if she smoked cigarettes, she would say the old cigarette.
But I mean, the mom didn't want to take care of her own kids.
That's fucked.
Oh no, it's all fucked up there. It's all fucked up. I mean, you know, last image we saw of their father or whatever house they were and landed in after dumpster diving. The kid was crying, and you know, right before the camera cut, clearly he just slapped him for no reason, and the kid was crying. He didn't give a shit what he was doing. He was stabbing the turkey. No one gives a shit. Like, it's just, you know, not a good situation. I mean, but still, the mother was better than that guy, clearly.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the idea of grabbing a destiny for yourself, but a destiny that turns out to be the next 2 hours of this movie, which is, you know, shady to dangerous to one day at a time stuff, and you think that the ending is about complying to that, or mainly not complying to it, but like the murdering of that dream to have dreams or to have curiosity and have wonderment?
No, I think it's not I don't think it's the murdering of it. I think it's the realization of like that and where she is, she needs to live in the now, unless if she's willing to do something else for it. To get her dreams. You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like if she's doing something like what she's doing, she's just going to be in that.
It's more like a
scenario.
Leveling off of that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm not telling you that she's going to completely like, you know.
Yeah.
She said, fuck my dreams. Bah, 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 and shot it to death, you know?
Right. Yeah. So. Okay. In that case, I'm definitely with you now.
Okay.
I thought cool. You meant.
No, I sounded more cynical earlier, but yeah. No.
Yeah, that's what I first thought. Did you mean that, by the way, Luke, or you're on board with us on this?
Which aspect?
The tapering off of her dreams to be more responsible for what she should be doing for her living, as opposed to like not having any dreams at all ever.
Will she abandon the children?
No. At the end of the movie,
I don't get that.
Did you
the
even
movie.
See that?
See, at the end of the movie, it was just like it felt very ambiguous. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
well, the movie will technically never end. This is like Boyhood. It'll just continue forever, right?
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh Jesus! Next year, I guess.
Eventually.
Right.
It I have it on iTunes.
I know. I didn't watch.
Actually, this felt very Boyhood-y. Both movies are very long. Both movies take one journey's perspective. Both about growing up. Almost coming out of age.
From what I recall, from the end scene, it was just like, she's dead, Jake, they're all having fun. She just kind of like walks away into the thing. And I'm just like,
he gives her a turtle.
And she puts it in the thing. And that's it.
Walks into the water.
With it, yeah. Is it like a cleansing thing? Is it just...
Well, we know she can't swim.
What is it? What is it?
Well, we know she can't swim. That's the first thing I thought because of that whole Texas
thing.
She's
pretty good. Let's get the fuck out.
And then the music stops because you realize... I think I realized at that point, I'm not 100% on this. I think that's the first time at the very end when you hear the nature and the crickets and the buzzing and all that. That's the first time there is no score or auto... Our dialogue.
I think there's a lot of music in this.
Yeah,
a lot of bad music.
No, there's a lot of music in this.
Yeah, no,
music.
I mean bad to you, but if you were those people's age today, whatever, right, you exactly. Would love that music. Sure. You know, you can't say that. And I like some of that songs. I actually like. I didn't know who that was. Rihanna song. I like that.
Well, I mean, I knew those were top 40 hits.
Well, I don't know those songs. I knew like two of them, and they were the two weirdest ones, only because my girlfriend showed me them. You know, otherwise I would not know anything.
Right.
So yeah, but anyway, so I think that's the first time we actually get peace and quiet, and she actually gets maybe a metaphorical, a cinematic version of a moment to reflect and a moment to get to that point that you were talking about, Ralph, about tapering off, living for yourself, you know, not for anybody else, not for just emotion.
Sure.
Because she, you know, we all know she came into this job to be with Shia LaBeouf, to be with Jake.
Right.
Not to have a job.
Yeah.
It's not like that's the responsibility she wants.
Although that is what she told herself, though.
Right.
Yeah, of course. Right. So that's interesting. And then it ends with her living for, taking actual, like the job being first and then everything being second because she has to take care of herself first before she can take care of others. So yeah, it's more hopeful than that. And also it's a road trip movie. What do we think of his road trip aspects?
They show you some pretty fucked up places.
And I love how the neighborhoods get lower and lower.
Right.
Do they go to it's not in that order, but I know that that Texan scene stuff is one of the first places that they go. It's really mansions.
They go to some posh neighborhoods, and then they go all this like shitty.
Right, to Grand Rapids or Great Rapids?
I don't know.
No, it was Great
Rapids. Rapid City. Yeah. Sorry.
They start off in Kansas City. They start off in a big city.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the first time she's seen it.
I love how they look at the buildings.
Most of the just like, yeah, we looked at it. We're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I can walk that downtown in 10 minutes. But for them, this is a palace.
So you're assuming all these kids all come from small, shitty towns.
And they haven't left those places until they started this job thing. And they clearly only go to small towns and suburbs, instead of cities usually because they've never seen it. And Kansas City is like, what, 50th biggest city in this country?
Maybe. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's not that big, is my point. And compared to the world, it's like 500th, you know? Maybe not, but you know what I mean. I just think it very clearly puts us their fascination at seeing Kansas City puts us in their shoes and in their POV in a way that we will never understand, even though we are understanding it at the same time.
Right.
I think that's a really good directorial technique how to do that. And that's why I love this director so far. I want to see her other shit now. She did two other movies I really want to watch. Anyway, anything else you want to talk about? I know we missed a lot of stuff. I want to see if you guys want to say something.
A lot of wing.
It's two shots. Two quick shots of that blonde.
He was
kid.
Naked, and he was fighting that one guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot. Oh, no, I just forgot that part. I just thought you meant when they were playing that thing when they chase him.
Oh, yeah, no. That's
okay.
No, I just felt like, you know, rambled on a little. Like, it was just inconsistent. Like, maybe it was just the point of the movie where you just weren't sure where it was going to go because the characters themselves didn't know where they were going to go, and that was kind of the thing, but it just felt like too drawn out. It's like, it was like almost a chore to finish this movie in a sitting.
Okay. Clearly it didn't work for you, but also, like, do you feel like this movie's made for you?
No.
Can you see a group of people where this movie could be made for?
I want them dead.
No, that's not what I asked. I asked if you could see that there is like a group of people. Why this movie's popular is my point.
This movie's not popular. I don't think it's made any money back with them.
It is popular. Critically, everyone's talking about it. Everyone is talking about it despite what you're saying.
I think more people are talking about Star Wars now.
You're not hearing me. You know what I'm saying.
I'm choosing to ignore what you're saying.
Yeah, but is there a yes or no question? Can you imagine a group of people big enough to like this movie and be the movie for them?
I guess there is a group of people for this movie, and I feel very sorry for them.
Okay.
Showers are amazing.
He's such a fucking square. That's all I'm seeing here. Anyway.
What do you think of Shia LaBeouf?
I think it was good, yeah.
Right, it's Shia LaBeouf. I mean,
he wasn't flashy, which is great.
He was in Transformers.
Right. Well, did you guys play it out as this guy being like...
In Battle for Shaker Heights.
Mid-20s? Is that what he's supposed to be? Maybe early 20s?
Yeah. How old is he in reality?
I don't know, because he had like these piercings and everything. And
he's like at my age, right?
And like they said, like, oh, well, look professional, but he's got piercings. They all dress like shit. I wouldn't buy fucking... If these kids came up to my fucking door and tried to sell me shit...
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Out. Like, I don't think he was a particularly
spray him with the hose and do him a
salesman.
Favor.
And also, it is just magazines. It's not like...
Yeah, and I'm like, who the hell? I'm like,
it's not like you're going to have
do
your...
Do you have a digital copy of this magazine?
Not, you're not going to have a $200 suit to sell magazines, you know? Or whatever. You might expect. You would expect people like this, bohemians.
He's 30.
Like this. He's 30, yeah.
Babyface.
That sounds right. Yeah, he is babyface. He definitely is portrayed younger in my viewing of this movie. I think he is a good actor. I just think that he is a very strange man. Like besides the acting stuff that he does, he's just strange.
Sure.
And that just happens to like magnetized to him, even when he's making movies. When we shouldn't be doing that. We should judge the movie on its own.
But, sure.
You know.
I bring it up just because he's in his own cup of, you know, he's a cup of tea.
He's his own sub-genre. Right. What do we think of that Texan scene?
Yeah, well, did you guys fear the worst? That's a good question.
That's so, the very first scene I did.
So did you guys fear?
Like, yeah, like but once she got there, I didn't.
Yeah, neither did I. I just thought these guys were just like, oh, let's have fun. Let's whatever.
Yeah, I thought she was going to get like raped or something.
So did I at first. But. Yeah.
Well, I thought at the very least that the movie wanted to
just taking advantage
way.
Of or something or beaten
but
up.
I don't think they were. I don't think
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Right, and same thing. Because she does it again, not with the oil guys. Before that, she does it again with something else. Well, I forget
the trucker.
The trucker, that's right. The trucker.
But that one feels very. That didn't feel. Anything
no, like must. I think it's. I think we started trusting the film, and we distrusted her.
Sure.
Her carelessness and her idea of coming out alive of everything. So, like, we went with her. I think we came into. I think that's what the magic of the movie does for you is that we're put into their minds and their mindsets, whether we like it or not. So I think that I was comfortable even when she was in that truck driver. And I was even comfortable with the oil thing. Even though it did turn dark, it only got there because she said okay. It wasn't like forced on her. So even though it went darker than I wanted it to, i.e., you know, giving hand jobs for money.
That's an expensive hand job.
That's a very expensive
hand job. That's a very – oh, that's horrible. I would not pay that much.
Yeah.
I mean,
anyway,
we get
a hot dog here for $20.
There's a very big, distinct difference also between Star and everybody else in this movie. Where
she's not a good salesman at all.
Besides that, well, she's herself the whole time, and she isn't a good salesman because she doesn't know how to
shift personas.
Her pitch is to say, "I'm selling magazines to make money. Right. Here are all these magazine ideas we can have instead of like tailoring to
but
what
But she's
they do.
Herself,
right?
And the reason she gets to sell magazines, especially to that one guy who she sold to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, even the Texan guys, she sold to them. It's like, hey, listen, also. Let me drink that worm and you guys buy magazines off of me.
Right.
Perfect. They don't want to, but hey, fuck it. They're having fun, right?
Yeah, and they have money.
Exactly. Right. And they had fucking Mustangs, okay, yeah. for horses.
They had fucking money. They were bored. It was the middle of the afternoon.
Exactly. And then it was the same thing when she goes to the trucker. She's just kind of like, hey, boats, appeases
him,
yeah, everything. Yeah. But by in her own way.
It just takes longer. But she sells more magazines, though, from one person.
She can't, exactly. She can't get with the program of like how everybody else lies. Because that's not her, and she could never do that. That's a big difference.
Did the movie did enough to put that glaring difference between her and everybody else?
I think it did, especially with Jake, because you know the whole time she just can't confront with Jake. She can't do what Jake does.
Well, that first time with the Christian family thing, and she clearly was ruining his sales pitch and obviously failed.
Oh my God, he was trying so hard.
To beat that dead horse, right? I think that I first thought. I didn't think about it. I didn't retroactively think back on it until later after watching it. But I first thought that she was just doing that because she had seen Jake and Crystal, you know, in that car together and the beds make, you know, in the motel thing. And I said, you know, in the same room. So I thought that she was just being jealous and just taking it out of him. And I was kind of hating Star in that scene. Not because she was ruining Shia LaBeouf's pitch, but because of the
her
why.
Pettiness?
I thought the whyness was very petty. But now that I look back, it's just, yeah, she really hates science. So when she said that, I didn't really believe her at first.
Right.
But she really did. And the rest of the movie showed that. And I took it back, obviously. But it was a very, very honestly, weird scene because I thought it was lying to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel Shia LaBeouf's character has also changed in this movie?
Well, that's the other question I was going to ask. I don't know. I don't know.
It seems like... You know, it seems like he's done this to other girls, but like when Crystal was like, oh, you know, his sales were never affected by him training anyone.
Right. And she did switch suitors to two suitors in a motel room instead of one.
Jesus.
Yeah. Don't break that girl's heart.
Yeah, right.
Right.
She doesn't have enough holes for that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. She was so, I mean, yeah, successful, but
she's trashy.
Very trashy as fuck. Like, odious. Very odious. Way
but then,
of
like, you know, then Shia LaBeouf was like also telling her certain things about himself, about like the coyote howls, or showing her the secret stash.
Right. Yeah. No. All that stuff are clearly the differences between the other girl he had fucked versus the one girl he's making love. You know, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah. There's a difference. Yeah.
And it seemed definitely in the realm of passion, even though. He can't last any more than 3 minutes. Those sex scenes are very short. And those sex scenes, by the way, are always on them and are not cutting away either.
Right.
I'm not saying they're real. I don't know how real they are, movie magic. But They're very intimate, and I think they're directed really well. I think. Did you guys like that, the way it was directed? They're showing the sex stuff because it was all always one shot, and the camera's on them, dude.
Too PG.
No, but the point is that, you know, trying to show the intimacy.
I got it. Right. Yeah, it was done well. Yeah.
But anyway, do I think he changed? I do think he changed throughout the movie. I just don't know what he changed into necessarily because I was just so focused on Star, you know. So, but what do you think he changed massively?
I don't know. He seemed like broken, kind of like when you saw him like in the next scene where after, you know, she said, "I'm not bringing him back" or whatever.
Right.
And he was in the back of the van. He kind of just like defeated.
Okay.
Like I was like, "I'll be here just to sell, just to get by," probably that kind of deal, but.
Like going back down to her, going down to her level, the Star's level. I mean,
right
to the van level.
No longer the right hand man.
Right, you can't ride the convertible anymore.
Right.
What do you think?
It did look that way, but the movie, the end of the movie says other thing. Says otherwise, right? I got you, buddy. So says otherwise. The movie says, you know what? I am defeated, but I'm gonna make the best of it. And I always, sorry, I am defeated, but I am. I'm gonna make the best of it. I'm gonna hang out with you guys that I've always hung out with anyway. Right?
All the people he trained, for
example. The people he trained, exactly. Yeah. And then I'm also going to, not all of it. And then I'm going to enjoy my time with you. And I'd rather be with you. So yeah. I do see a sense of like.
I'm glad you saw it positively. I guess I feel similarly. I definitely don't think it's anything negative, although he probably thinks so. I just think it's a better version of him later on down the road.
Sure.
But also, like, I'm wondering what next month looks for these people. I have no idea. I mean, they do very much by day.
Yeah.
They don't know either, obviously. And it's very interesting. I wonder
if maybe they stay for the southern states in the winter.
I'm glad they didn't go back to her family, though. Like, oh, back to the town where I started.
Yeah, I was really worried they were.
Especially after the scene with, like, the poor kids that she goes to and then she buys them groceries.
Yeah, Rapid City, yep. Yeah.
You mean the exact same family she had?
Right.
Like, yeah, that was horrible. Like,
word for word.
Yeah, we have Mountain Dew, you know, poor kids. They just starve for, like, growing up for attention.
Nothing.
Ketchup and Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Terrible. And old pizza.
Right.
Oscar, that's your fridge.
Oh, thank you. I hate Mountain Dew, though.
We gotta have this podcast.
Oh, really? Well, this podcast is verging into the longest one, as American Honey is, so we'll stop there. That is our review of American Honey. You can find that on stuff.
iTunes.
VOD and iTunes and shit. Sorry.
It's okay.
Lost
English. I think Amazon has it also.
Yeah, possibly. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start reviewing our next film, which is a French film.
Ooh, la, la.
Directed by Paul Verhoeven. Total Recall man himself, called Elle. Stay with us.
Non mais remets-le-moi ça. Non mais, quoi, on en avait déjà parlé, les convulsions orgasmiques sont beaucoup trop timides.
C'est à croire qu'ils ont peur du sexe.
Mais c'est déjà multiplié par 5.
Ah mais ça se voit pas, faut y aller beaucoup plus franchement.
On peut parler des vrais problèmes. On a droit qu'à un one-shot chez Activision. Mais nos manettes sont tellement merdiques que ça rend notre version démo quasiment injouable. À quoi ça sert de concevoir des environnements hyper réalistes pour Styx si le joueur bazarde sa manette au bout de 10 minutes, merde!
Non mais Kurt, t'es à côté là. Tu bloques sur des défauts qu'on connaît déjà.
Non. Le vrai problème, il est là. Le problème, c'est que toi, tu sors de ton petit monde de l'édition et de la littérature et que t'es complètement largué dès qu'il s'agit d'évaluer la jouabilité.
A successful businesswoman gets caught up in a game of cat and mouse as she tracks down the unknown man who raped her.
You're right, that is the short one's good.
Short one's good. This movie, Elle, it is a French movie, or I think it is.
Well, it's in French.
Well, yeah, you never know. Directed by Paul Verhoeven.
Mm-hmm. The classy man who's brought classics like the classic Showgirls and the classic Total Recall.
Right, yes. This movie starring a bunch of French people, so who cares what I call them.
But the main actress is, I've seen her in many, many stuff before.
Isabelle
Huppert. Isabelle Ruppé. As my understanding is, how do you pronounce that?
I'm American.
Ruppert.
Huppert.
Isabelle Bailly. Bailly?
You're Mexican.
Yeah, we are.
Still American, by the way.
We have an audience member here. Elle. Okay, Paul Verhoeven. What do you think of the dude?
I think he's an interesting man.
Of his films, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Tabitha Cohagen, give the people back the air.
Now, lately, he's been doing movies like in six-year spurts. Like the last movie before this one was The Little Black Book, I think.
Never saw it.
And me either, but it's like much more dramatic, normal one. Like, you would not think Paul Verhoeven would do it. Before that, it was like probably his 90s shtick. You know,
oh, really?
Like, that's how long
it was. Oh, okay.
So he's definitely older, and it's hard for him to make projects. But he, you know, did one this year, L, and everyone's talking about it in good lights for the most part. Everyone, when I say everyone, I mean like people who've seen the movie.
Yeah.
And people in France and, you know, critics and whatnot.
Right.
So it's looked on kind of positively to interesting. And everyone agrees that Isabel Rupert's performance is the highlight of the movie. So what do you think of all that stuff? How do you feel?
I mean, yeah, we follow her the whole time. So we never follow anybody. We don't follow anybody else too much that needs to be followed, you know? It's always at least someone in the room that our main character is in. So
right, yeah, she's never out of...
She's never
frame well, for the movie, right?
I think she
not
has a
frame,
couple,
but you know what I mean. No,
but she's not out of scene. If that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I guess that's what I mean.
What's it called? But I would agree with what critics, I guess, were saying about, and it that does fall almost not solely on her, but her performance is what makes this movie really well, or I think does a really great job.
Yeah, she does a really good job of like always letting us know that there's something going on behind. There's always something ticking in there, and I don't mean something like oh she's like super intelligent. She is very intelligent. But like it's more than that. It's like she combines her emotions in such a reserved way that you would think that she's kind of like just walking through the role really easily, but it's not. It's also kind of complicated the way she's trying to portray a very complicated woman. She's portraying a complicated woman in a very serene, because she's used to it. She's the kind of woman that she is in the movie. It's very like stern and like blocked off. And when you know her history, you
cold.
Don't blame
she's
her.
Cold.
She's
yeah.
cold, right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a good one. Yeah.
Right, but she's cold, but she's for a reason, right? And
yeah,
I think that reason comes out for sure, right? Or reasons.
Right.
And when she is very emotional and she gets kind of crazy with her emotions, she has a right to be that way, though, too. And
right.
It's like, you understand her perspective very well and why she gets angry or why she gets emotional or why she... They even do a great job, I think, of explaining why she doesn't mention anything about the rape, which is the very first thing in the beginning. And I think it's like...
And a lot of stuff you can assess yourself. Because we should say that the movie, before the movie starts, like when she was a little girl, she was... her father is a serial killer and is in jail for a lot of murdering going on. And apparently a journalist or reporter took a very like iconic picture of her.
Right, it would have been made like
showed,
Time Magazine.
That showed like a dark version of his kid among all the blood. Or the insanity.
Soot. That was all the soot. All
sorry,
the ashes,
soot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ashes, right, because it was on fire.
Exactly.
That's right, that's right. We don't actually see what's going on. We just see, like, is there a flashback? No, there's a news...
There's a news thing about her, about
yeah,
that photo also.
Because, yeah, well, the this
they
thing
were
is
burning the house down.
Right, it's back on the news because the guy is putting up for parole. And a lot of people are like, no, don't let him out ever, you know, and shit like that. That's why it's on the news again. And
right.
They show back that flashback of her with the... With the kids.
Right,
stuff.
So apparently the father used to be a serial
killer.
Right,
so she's kind of famous in a not good way because of her father.
Because not only that, but apparently she helped, everyone says that she helped her father.
And that picture did a long way to really right. Put a negative portrayal of her.
Of her, yeah, and her family also.
Yeah, and her family. Yeah, it's fucked up. It's not cool. No one says good things.
No, I mean, we got a one random scene that I didn't get an explanation of until like later on where she just gets food thrown on her.
Yeah,
yeah.
Out of the blue. Uh-huh. Yeah. Remind me of that one similar scene in season 2 of Mr. Robot, and you'll see if you ever see it.
Sure.
One of the wife's husbands gets really famous for something really bad, and the wife gets constantly berated by people on the street, you know, out of the blue too.
Because that helps everybody.
Yeah, like that helps. Yeah, exactly. It just helps you, and that even right.
At best. Probably
at
not.
Best. Yeah. Anyway, so I think that a lot of that is you're supposed to like take into account when she acts the way she acts. But it's very interesting. The film opens with the rape. The guy leaves. And we stay. We linger on that. I think Paul Verhoeven's really good in this movie with the lingering. He lingers beyond where I think you would think a scene would end.
Yeah, that's true.
And it doesn't end.
Right.
Like, she cleans up. Like, she has to compose herself. And, like, life continues. She can't just leave there or stay there all day.
Right.
So
she doesn't wallow. She doesn't...
Right, yeah.
She doesn't expect anybody to come and help her.
Right.
You could tell she's been independent for... probably most of her life,
mm-hmm.
And she's, well, I have to deal with this, and she does deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
She takes a bubble bath.
Yeah, that's right. She takes a really nice looking, comfortable bubble bath.
A bloody bubble bath, but yeah.
I don't know how bloody it was, but yeah, maybe.
Well, blood came
out. I mean, she's really active, though.
Yeah, so what's interesting is also is like, besides, because the first impressions of that scene, right, I mean, it's a very powerful thing to watch. I thought I fucked up immediately, right? What the fuck am I watching?
Right.
And then I was like, should have had a dog, not a cat. Dog would have probably helped you.
Yeah, the cat just looked.
Right. Yeah. The cat was just like, I don't know what to do.
I'm a cat.
Exactly. I was just like, okay.
Cats are like that.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a powerful scene, powerful opening. And it starts off with sound only. So you hear a struggle.
Yeah.
And then you see the thing that's going on. It's interesting. And then just composes herself like if nothing happened. Like if it was just like, oh, that's my fetish. And it just, whatever, going
like
on.
If the scene would have done that, I would have bought it because I saw, because of the way she was acting.
Right, yeah.
Like he comes back like, was that good, was that good, dear? You know?
Right, exactly.
Was that convincing?
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, no, you have to slap me a bit more.
Yeah, and then it's amazing how just her son comes in and,
oh my God.
This is the worst kid ever, by the way. Yeah. And it's just literally like, B, right? And she never brings it up because she doesn't want to, right? But you're just like, dude, if you knew, you'd shut your fucking horn.
I mean, you say that again later on towards the end of the movie when he's sleeping through an almost another attack that happens in the assailant's basement.
Right.
Spoiler alert for that stuff, I guess. But it's insane. And the kid is such a spoiled brat who doesn't understand and is so, like, narrow-minded and just stupid. Like, he's stupid because of his pride, like the thing with the girlfriend who is cute but mean.
She's a straight up bitch
and petty. Yeah. So he has his pregnant girlfriend that he's gonna move in with. He can't keep a job to save his life because he's stupid.
His reasoning for losing that job, that's priceless right there.
Oh, I don't remember what it was. What was it?
He has a McDonald's type job, right?
Yeah.
And he said that his car broke down. So he had to quit the job because he couldn't get to the job. He says,
his
car broke down.
Right.
And he says, it's an hour there and an hour back. That's too much of a hassle for me to get there.
Right.
It's not worth it. And she looks at him like, you have a baby and a family to be helping.
Right. Yeah.
The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Like, and bet you're not, that girlfriend of his was right on that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Yeah, that's a bus, dude. You live in a major city.
And then he says, like, I read an article or something that subway fumes can give you, like,
oh,
whatever.
My God.
And I was like,
I
what the
now.
Fuck?
It's all
I,
do. Back.
I just got out of this movie.
It's so all coming back.
I just saw this movie literally, like, 25 minutes ago.
Right.
So
I saw it a few days ago.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a big difference where I have all the details fresh in my mind.
Yeah, that's true. You have the rape in your mind.
Yeah.
Where I'm just cleaning up after it now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear you. Wow, yeah. And that son, I mean, I think we're supposed to feel infuriated, but what does it mean to us that she has this kid, how she never confides in him? There's no love in there. I mean, there's need of each other. Like, I think that she does love her kid. I'm not saying that there's no love, period, but there's no love being shown, you know what I mean? It's not very, it's definitely more of a cold relationship between them. They have nothing in common.
Right.
They don't, I mean, as adults, as far as adults go. And they, she's not very warm to him, but she does love him and wouldn't abandon him anyway.
Well, she's a mother, yeah. She still helps him. She helps him with everything.
Right.
I mean, she's helping him with
the
rent.
But the kid could not be more the opposite. Like, this woman is, you know, driven and hardworking.
Sure.
And not emotional when it doesn't, unless it has to be. And even then, I mean, I would say a little too emotionless, but you know what I mean. And so, yeah, it's the opposite people here.
Right.
But this movie also, on top of, like, you know, about this, the process of, because you would think that when the movie starts with the rape, and the movie doesn't focus on the rape per se, it does a lot, but it doesn't do all of it like that. You'd think the movie might be about trauma, but it isn't. I mean, it is, but it isn't about trauma. It's like about relationships is my guess, because she has like tons of relationships. She has a work relationship. She has affairs. She has a thing with her son. She has a thing with the neighbor, which turns out to be the assailant.
It's crazy.
And he was so nice. I bought him. I honestly did not think that the guy would come again. And when he did come again, I honestly think that the third time would have been like a trap type deal where, like, Freddy Krueger coming into the real life, you know, there'd be traps everywhere and then he gets killed. Or she, like, you know, has that axe with her, you know,
right,
and she grabs and just kills him, because I think she would have taken him normally if she wasn't so caught off guard by it the first time.
Sure. Right. Well, we have a reimagining of the scene where she dreams up how she would have liked to react.
That's true.
Right.
And that was really nice.
It was an awesome scene.
Yeah.
Right. And it feels very what's it called? Very like, oh, I totally would do that, right? But it feels very fake because of the way she does it. Like, it just doesn't look real, or if it doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's cool that she would have loved to react that way because she wouldn't be feeling down on herself at the moment.
Right.
But she takes it and she spins it in her own way to, obviously, besides liking it, to kind of like controlling the situation.
Right, so I was going to ask you about that. That's the main thing about this movie, is that we see her develop a relationship to the assailant, to the neighbor, before she knows it's him and after. And it gets, like, more closer after she finds out who it is, because she takes off his mask at the second attempt.
Right.
What do you think it means that we see her doing that? Because it's strange and still has the ending, the satisfying ending.
Well, to be honest with you, what brought me, what I thought when I found that out was, I thought that she's a person who's capable of much more, I guess, madness, like kind of like her father is, her father was.
Like a touch of madness?
Yeah, and at the same time, I felt that maybe she was part of the things that her father was. Maybe she did help her father out more than we think.
I mean, not that I would blame a child anyway.
Right, not maybe, exactly. Maybe I wouldn't either, because you could easily persuade a child to do something, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I persuade my kid to bring me my phone all the time, right? And stuff like that.
Replace that with a living head. And
right, that's, yeah. Right, exactly. Or just, you know, making things burn, right? So, and I think maybe she had more, like, because you can see it towards the end, and kind of like how cold she is. And, like, you don't blame her, but you kind of see that maybe she did have more impact with her father's things. And even though, because, like, what was she afraid? Like, she never sees a father. Like, every time you think she's going to get closure for something, something bad happens in this movie.
True.
Like, her mother forces her father, go see her father, and then she dies. And he's like, ugh, I guess I have to go see her, right?
Right.
And then she announces that she's going to go see him, and, well, to the prison.
And then he commits suicide when she finds out, the father in jail, that his daughter was coming.
Right. And towards the end of the movie, and thinking about it right after the movie, I thought he committed suicide because I don't think he had the heart to tell her that she helped him with things.
I mean, it could be any myriad of reasons. We definitely don't know enough about the family.
We don't.
The mom scene was only two scenes with her. We never get anything from the father except from other people. So it's not like we're seeing a family in the workings here.
Sure.
So we kind of have to piece this out. But yeah, I would probably guess that's a good reason.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just felt that from the fact that how she takes control of this rape scenario. I mean, she was a victim and then she became the one in control completely.
I think that's what it was. I think I think the main thing she was doing with the assailant, with the neighbor, what was his name? Do you remember?
Who cares?
Yeah, I think his name was Who Cares? Who got it? Stupid. Hope it's not Francois, because we'd be racist right now. Let's see. I think her thing about the assailant, after she found out who it was, never calling the cops, and I think her whole thing is about being in control. I think the reason we see all of her job stuff, because, you know, we see her, she's just like old, she's a publisher type deal, a businesswoman who got into the gaming business in the form of developing.
Patrick.
And Patrick, okay. In the form of developing. And I think the whole stuff we see about her, you know, talking down that other gamer dude who is anti her, and showing off that she is the boss and all this stuff. I think all of that is to show us a woman that is used to being in control, used to taking up the mantle, used to also like showing off that she is in control. I think she loves doing it.
And
I think this whole thing about the rapist was about trying to be in control, understanding the man.
And then moment she took control is the moment she was bored of it. And I'm not bored of it, but she was like, I'm done with this now. I can say when I'm done with it, because I'm the one in control now. Which she does say.
And the guy is pathetic.
Super.
Yeah.
Right? I love that scene. So the whole movie, you're let to... She's trying to figure out who it is. Right. And then you have this whole thing where at work, she's even being harassed with like some of her employees.
And that gaming stuff also, very...
Right, very strange, graphic. Very graphic. Very weird. And then there's like tentacle porn going on, and then they put her face over the girl who's getting raped by this thing. So it's interesting. And And then she does this huge power play by, like, I'm going to, like, demean you, right? But compliment you.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, tell you that I'm the one in charge, not you, because you just took your pants down and showed me your cock, right?
Like one, yeah, the one dude.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just, it was super interesting. Like, it was, I didn't even know what to
say. Hey, like, you don't have to fire him. This does everything you need, and you still have the guy to work for you.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's really good.
Yeah. And you keep your $10,000.
Right, and you keep the money that she was paying him for. I mean, do it anyway. I mean, she did find out. So.
Yeah. I mean, although, good on him for asking if he still could keep it.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's really good. And I mean, there's a more complicated version of that with the rapist. And also, like, I like the thing with the son, because all these relationships, I think, are supposed to be about very degrees of control for Elle. Like, the way she just, at the office party, she just, like, blew the lid off the affair. And, like, yeah, it was me. Yeah, and then, you know, just because I think that she was becoming probably bored from the affair. The guy was being a little too needy, a little too more on her side than the wife, when it should be more of a side thing. I'm just guessing that part, but I guess that's what it is. And I think she just wanted to, like, control the situation her way. Like, the way she tells all her friends that she was raped is at a dinner. You know, and she just tells it point blank.
And they just ordered champagne,
so she can control the way it'll end.
They ordered champagne. They ordered champagne, if not wine for sure. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. French life. Wine and coffee everywhere.
Yeah, Jesus. It's everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Although I'm with them. Not with the wine, but I'll drink all the coffee. Yeah. Though. Yeah.
I had the smallest cups ever. They're true. Obviously, they have
they're all about proportions. Stronger, yeah. They have better proportions.
Yeah,
than we do.
But I was going to bring something. So way big picture, I think, that or bigger picture, should I say, for this movie. And it shows a woman's POV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who has power, right, in a man's world.
Right.
Right? So this is normally a man would have this her be in her position, right?
Right.
Who is the owner, right? CEO or whatever, the one in charge for everything, right? And she's literally in a man's world as a woman.
Right.
Right. And we're seeing her take control. And the thing is, like, no, but none of this shit would happen to a guy, right? A guy would not get raped, right?
Yeah.
More than likely, right?
A lot more than likely. Yeah.
Okay. A guy would not get raped. A guy would not get belittled by being raped in a video game either, or being shown by his by his employees, right?
Yeah.
That he's whatever, you know, that he's thought of as a comedic thing, right?
Yeah.
Or a guy would take it differently, should I say, than a girl. Now, then a woman might take it, because the way she takes it beautifully. She handles it perfectly.
Right. Yeah.
Like, she has a moment of quick shame and embarrassment that obviously she just kind of, like, wants to give a second for herself.
Right.
But she handles it beautifully. And then we have, obviously, the fact that she, most men, sorry to say it, don't deal with the day-to-day life of, like, you know, the kids and everything else. I know if you're a single parent, you probably do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's also a mother, and she also has to help out with her things. Like, she does way more than the husband does, right? Or the ex-husband does, to help out her son.
True.
And she even helps him out, because he's a deadbeat also.
Yep.
Like, a failing writer. So, like, we're seeing this woman who's, I mean, does way more, has to do way more, has to be put through way more than any man would ever. And
yep.
She still comes out almost unscathed. Besides being raped and a bunch of other
things.
I mean,
besides physically, yeah.
Right.
Like, stature.
I mean, even mentally, she is.
I mean, she keeps everything intact for the most part.
She has... Trouble is everywhere for her.
Yeah, it's almost like a heroic portrayal, but it's not. I mean, it isn't because of the way it feels and the scene-to-scene stuff. It isn't showing that. But when you tell it out loud, you're describing some sort of heroic person that's, yeah, a human who's jaded and fucked up and cold, but also still a person that never did anything wrong.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Never did anything wrong.
Seemingly, yeah.
Right. I mean, she's a good boss. She's effective.
Yeah.
Okay. She might have done that thing with the kid, let's say, with the worst thing, right? They burned that house down.
Sure.
But she was a kid. You don't blame a kid for anything.
Right, exactly.
She was raped, but that's not her fault at all, obviously.
Right.
So, like, I mean, yeah, she probably raised a son wrongly in order to
probably
make room
for... Probably too spoon-fed or something.
Yeah, probably too spoon-fed. Probably, like, as a result to divorce, you know, how you dote on
sure,
the kid
sure,
too
yeah.
much. I mean, that's the interesting thing about the son is that that's the one person that she really didn't have control over. Because he was acting like a rebellious teenager in his 30s, or however old he was.
Yeah, at least late 20s.
Right, sure. At least late 20s.
Yeah.
And his kid was black, okay? His wife is white. He's white. I'm just saying that was not his kid, and she's trying to tell him, but obviously it doesn't work. You can't talk to a rebellious teenager,
like, right?
Who isn't teen? And I think that she just learned to let go with his son, and like just let him be what he is, and help him out. And he was, for the most part, in the process of turning his life around. But you know that guy is day to day.
Yeah,
but you could tell that for her it's sure. a struggle that she's willing to make.
Yeah, exactly.
That thing at the bridge when they reconnected.
Yeah.
And she, or was it the apartment? I forget where it was.
It was the apartment where they reconnect.
Okay.
The bridge is when they get mad because she's trying to throw the.
He
can't find the pacifier, and she blows up on him.
Right. And because everything is, you know.
And then her mother had just died. They're literally about to spread the ashes, and she's.
That's why she just spreads them like.
Right. And she literally breaks up, and she finally has like a moment of, not clarity, but she has a moment of like. I'm just not putting up with this shit anymore. Mm-hmm. And she just tells him off, like, how do you let her treat you? That's not your kid. That's not this. They're two shades different of you.
Right.
Like,
you know, I think that's how she says it, yeah.
She says it exactly like yeah. that, yeah. And it's just like, she breaks it down, immediately. And he just ignores her.
He just won't hear it.
Yeah, he right. won't hear it, no.
And the way she...
No, he calls her a cunt.
Oh, that's right. Right. That's a horrible
Twice.
Son.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would never say that. What do you think about the relationship she has with her mother? I mean, not just the ashes, and she just like nonchalantly pours it down, but like that whole thing with her mother's squeeze.
Ralph?
Ralph, was that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, with Ralph. It seemed like he was just...
Male gigolo, I guess?
No.
It was a gigolo, right?
I thought it was like a boyfriend. Didn't get it, maybe. Yeah. But because he was still around after.
It was a boyfriend, yeah. It was a boyfriend.
And I think he was just doing it just to get revenge on the wife of a killer.
Right.
It seemed very, like, odious and mean, how he was, like, seething at Elle when she went to the mother's apartment.
Right.
I'm like, what an asshole.
Right.
Like, really bad. Like, why would you do this?
Right, exactly.
Right? I think she just, like, her mother was definitely taken advantage of, I think. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, you get hints of the thing about their relationship, her and her mother, is that they obviously, after the whole incident with the father, they had just, there was not, no good chemistry between them, or nothing good
right.
happened between them. And you could tell they both, you know, responded to it differently, because the mother lives vicariously and, like, happy all together, and while she immediately defenses up and everything, it's like, yeah. you know, and she had to,
she made
her own life, and she made a life aside from it, right?
Right.
Like, almost to the point where I'm pretty sure she could have changed her last... She would have changed her last name if she really wanted to.
Right.
You know? But at the same time, like... And her mother's just like, oh, I live... Whatever. I don't care because that's not my... You know, but I still love him. He's still my husband. Kind of shit.
Right.
Right? So, that's weird.
Yeah, it's something weird.
It's a weird movie altogether. It's a lot of stuff that happens.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, you're right. What do you think of the end with the neighbor? Like, after... So, we should say also, like, at the end... The assailant does get killed, oddly enough, by the son,
yeah.
Elle's son, right. comes in out of nowhere and bashes him really hard in the head, and a very interesting death he has.
Yeah.
The rapist. Like, he gets back up, but he's like, has a big, his brain's popping out.
Right.
That kid really whacked him. Right. It was one hit, too. And she was okay. So she was about to get raped again after she threatened him and was bored with him. And even like, see if you can run me over, bitch. There was that one little moment before. I'm like, God damn, girl, what? And she did not get run over. The guy did not run her over.
She didn't even flinch.
No, she did not flinch. That was amazing and also like really risky.
Right.
But I was really proud of her for a moment there.
Right. I thought this movie was gonna end with her getting buried or something.
Like, I don't know what the hell I was expecting. Which is good about the movie is that you don't know where it's gonna go after
at all.
Right, because, you know, once you see her not call the cops, not do the procedural things that
sure.
victims do, you don't know what's going to happen. You
right.
don't know. And then we get this, the third rape attempt. Well, the first one was success, I guess, but the third rape attempt. And she looked like she was going to lose. I love the thing with the chair real quick that she did, because that was the same area where she first got raped, if you remember the house.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember.
It looked like she was going to lose. What did you think she was proving? Like, did she want to die and then her son really just magically saved her? Or did she think that she could take him?
I think she wanted to see what he was going to do. And she knew that he was either going to pussy out and not do anything, right? Mm. And just be that pussy. Or he needed to prove her differently and be like, no, this is still going to happen. Like, and I'm gonna make it continue happen, and she'll like it.
I would think that he was gonna kill her.
You thought she was gonna kill her? I thought he was. Yeah,
because of that threat, that veiled threat about
the calling the cops. And, yeah. Maybe. See, I thought so too, but at the same time, I thought more of like the fact that like you don't want this to end as much as I don't want this to end.
I think after the second attempt, he thought that, but not after that.
That moment of clarity, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It was weird. I mean,
it's a very weird relationship between these two.
Sure.
what did you think that she was doing? Because, I would like to think that she was kind of committing suicide.
That's interesting. You mean suicide by...
By rape.
Well, yeah. By rapist. By letting it happen, right?
Or if you really follow the control thing, that she really does have the ultimate control. Because she already showed off to us really a scene before that about the car not being run over, and she was, you know, headstrong about it, like Tiananmen Square and shit. That was how good that was. Maybe not. Maybe it's more about like she thought she could take him on. Like she thought she had belittled him enough. She knew him enough to have control of any situation. She would be with that man, and she just thought wrong until her son came.
Yeah.
That son angle really throws in a wrench as to what would have really happened.
Yeah, we probably
it's almost like a Deus Ex Machina. Just a big interruption to the thing to create an effect that you want differently than what realistically would have happened. It's almost like that, but it's not, because you can see the sun coming in. The sun just barges in all the time anyway. Right. Like, it's not uncommon. So sure. I bought it fine.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I want Elle alive.
I thought about it also because she left the party, right? And everybody he knew left the party because he was running this party, supposedly.
Right.
Right? At the company, right? And he's just like, well, nobody else died. Oh, he's here, so I'm just going to go home. That's like totally what I thought his mentality, his thought process was.
Yeah, this party sucks.
Right, exactly. Like,
through the party, sucks.
I don't need to be here because everybody who I care about or I got paid for, whatever reason I'm here for, is gone. Right. So I'm just going to go home.
Yeah.
Like, and he gets there literally 5 minutes later, like, and that's when it all happened, right?
Yeah.
Which is so funny. But I don't know. I guess you saying it like that, I do get that. I can see that. Should I say? But I just didn't think I just thought they were going to continue doing what they were doing.
Yeah, more of a game.
More of the game. yeah, it's weird.
If you think of his cat and mouse, like he thought he was a cat. She then turned into the cat. He was a mouse. He was trying to prove that. No, bitch, I ain't no mouse. I'm the cat still. I guess. I mean, that's really good, too. I mean, I think any of his point of views are completely valid.
And then she makes up with her friend at the very end.
Yeah, I think her friend knows her very well and respects when she's just going to be honest about it. And I think that she knew it was over before. I think it was a combination of those things. We definitely don't know enough about her friend.
Right. Well, this is also like, I just don't think this would happen in like an American culture either.
A lot of this stuff feels very culturally just to them.
Sure.
Or European, maybe.
Yeah.
Not just to France, but maybe European. And we don't understand. But we understand why and where everything comes in. We just wouldn't do that here overall.
Right. I just think, yeah, the majority of people would not do that here.
Right.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. I just think we're too petty still.
Probably.
Yeah.
We're kind of that teenage country.
Oh, we're totally teenagers.
Yeah, everyone's older than us. Like, oh, listen to us. Like, no, we have nuclear bombs, man. Right. So that's it. Is that anything else?
I can't think of anything else to say.
So it looks like a hit for us, right? Anyway, did we say?
yeah, it's a hit. Oh, yeah. A little long, but it's a hit regardless.
Yeah, like 2 hours?
2.5, I think.
Is it really 2.5?
I think so.
Wow, it really didn't feel that way to me. But I saw it.
No, it might be 2 hours, yeah. I forgot. I'll pull it up right now.
Don't matter. No, it doesn't matter. Anyway, check it out. It's available to rent or buy on streaming devices. I don't know if it's on DVD or Blu-ray, but who gets that really anyway these days? But we suggested, we recommended, we liked it. It's strange enough to like our movie about rape, but we enjoyed it. So that's it for this review. Stay tuned for a clip, and then we'll start reviewing our third film for the evening, which will be Complete Unknown. So stay with us.
Luke's favorite.
There's this moment when you're a blank slate. I realized I could be anyone I wanted. I could live 1,000 lives.
Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday.
It just means everything to me that we're here together. And to my lovely wife. Cheers.
Cheers.
Tom, this is Alice Manning.
Nice to meet you.
Alice.
Do
Imagine just leaving everything behind.
You could just go off the grid.
Well, I know someone who did that.
What about you?
I'm sorry?
Where would you go?
The shape-shifting tale of the perils and pleasures of self-reinvention begins at a dinner party when Tom's co-workers arrives with an intriguing date named Alice. Tom is convinced he knows her, but she refuses to acknowledge their history, and when Alice makes a hasty exit, Tom sets off after her. What follows is an all-night odyssey shared by two people, one needing to change his life, the other questioning how to stop changing. That is the plot, or the synopsis, written by Amazon Studios.
Alice doesn't live here anymore.
Yes. The movie...
A much better movie.
We were talking about is Complete Unknown.
For both of you, it should be Complete Unknown.
Alice, starred by Rachel Weisz.
Weisz.
Exactly. Okay. And Tom, starring Michael Shannon.
His 70th movie of the year.
Right, exactly. Other actors in this movie. Aaron Dock as Holly. That's about it. Anybody else? I don't know.
Kathy Bates.
Danny Glover.
Kathy Bates. Michael Chernus. Michael Chernus, yeah. Michael Chernus as Clyde.
Who's that guy?
Azita.
The fat guy who brought the girl.
But you might make it sound like you know him from something.
I've seen him in something.
Azita Ganizada.
Is that the wife?
Yeah,
Ramita.
Ramita's hot.
Oh, yeah. That being said, the complete unknown, we started off with myself on the American Honey, I believe, right?
Yes.
So let's start off on...
Luke says he's not going to be a part of the other one.
You mean I wasn't a part of the other one?
Exactly.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, you're right, though. Yeah, Luke, because I went last time.
Then Luke, what can we say about... What
totally say seamless editing.
About the complete unknown.
I wish I was completely unknown about this movie because it sucks.
You weren't when I told you to watch it.
Oh, God, horrible, horrible.
Now you know how we feel when you choose movies.
I choose great movies. You loved Edge of 17.
Yoga Hosers?
You loved Snowden.
Yoga Hosers? Yoga Hosers?
Hey, you know what? We're going to support our buddy Kevin Smith. So we saw
Yeah, he's my buddy, all right. I don't know that guy.
Well, I do.
No, you don't.
I'm going to text him right now. You're off the hockey team.
Hockey. Sorry, continue.
It sucked. I did not like this movie. It dragged. It was horrible. The acting was subpar. The plot was, god awful. I felt like I gained nothing from this movie except that it took an hour and 31 minutes of my life where I could have been doing anything but watching this movie.
Jerking off?
Anything.
Okay.
Okay. That being said, Oscar.
Lasker? Were you about to say Lasker? I don't think this is a major fuck up. I give it half.
But it's close to
it. If it's out of 5 stars, I give it 2.5. If it's out of 10, I'll give it a 5.
You're so gracious.
It's mediocre. I think it's...
So 50% still a failing grade.
No, it's fine. But I'm not doing it that way. I think that there's some really good stuff in this movie.
Yeah, the credits.
I think, shut up. There's some really good stuff in this movie. I think some of the stuff that he's trying to do that is interesting fails. I do think that the overall arc of what he's doing just fails. The delivery system of this movie is what fails. It's an interesting thing that they're trying to do. I just think they just fucked up from the get-go on how to proceed to it. I do think the acting was good, though. I think Rachel Weisz did a pretty good job. No, right, it's not... what was that movie she's done? It's not The Constant Gardener or anything like that, but it's still pretty good. I mean, still better than The Mummy, for example. She's in that, too.
This is true.
So, and as far as Michael Shannon goes, I mean, if you guys watch Nocturnal Animals, he plays a sheriff, and so he's, like, in everything. So I feel like as Michael Shannon performances of the year, I would put it in the middle somewhere, so it's not bad, but it's not great either.
God, you're right. He was in a lot of movies.
I told you. How many? I want to know.
We got this one. We got Midnight Special. I see Batman versus Superman.
He's in Loving also.
Elvis and Nixon.
That movie sucked.
I didn't even know those. I'm just...
Is it still loading of his titles of movies that he said?
No, it's not like the IMDb or anything. It's just like a Google search of his name.
Gotcha. Okay. I was just curious. He's in so many movies. All right, so that's my overthoughts. I think that this movie really could have been better. I do think they did some stuff well. I will talk about that stuff. But yeah, overall, I would not watch it again, and I would be hard-pressed to recommend it to someone. What?
Okay.
What?
In 2016, complete unknown, Frank and Nola, Midnight Special, Batman vs. Superman, Wolves, Poor Boy, Elvis and Nixon, Loving, Salt and Fire.
Hey, there's commas in between that shit, okay? Can you slow down? Okay, go.
Complete unknown, comma, Frank and Nola, comma, Midnight Special, comma, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, comma, Wolves, comma, Poor Boy, comma, Elvis and Nixon, comma, Loving, comma, Salt and Fire, comma, Nocturnal Animals, period.
Man, this comma is really a popular movie.
Comma 3 especially is really popular. What did you think, Ruff? Of Complete Unknown. We're off Michael Shannon now.
I got you. But still on him. I'm leaning more towards you, Oscar, where I agree where there's... The movie tries to do something, but it does fail. And I think the best time it tries to do it is when we meet the other veteran actors in this movie, which is Danny Glover and...
And Kathy Bates.
And Kathy Bates, right? Where he kind of slips into her role, right? Which I think that's a really cool scene because it's like he's like, hey, you're living the...
I feel like we should explain a bit more also because I think the synopsis doesn't really explain what...
Sure. So basically, Rachel Weisz's character, Alice, she just goes from talent to talent, if you want to look at it that way.
But yeah.
She just shifts her whole life completely.
Kind of like Psych, but really commits.
Right, yeah. She just completely changes her life the moment she gets too mundane or too used to it or something like that.
Too bored, used to it, or if she sees a pattern that she's starting to get into, she'll break off it and you start a new identity in a new place with a new job.
Right.
And the whole idea is that her, before when she was... You know, quote unquote normal when she had parents that she talked to and a life, so to speak, a stable life. She used to date Michael Shannon's character and then just like left. And everyone thought she was dead or kidnapped or God knows, because it was just so sudden.
Right.
And then she's been living, flitting from life to life, from country to country this whole time. And she comes back one more time to see him again. So that's the premise.
Right.
And,
well, she comes back and sees him on accident, I think, right?
Was it, you think, an accident?
I don't think so.
Nope.
Well, that's an interesting question. It seems like two of us already think it's different. Do you think it was an accident, Ruff?
I think she saw him, like, and then, like, that, I don't know. I think it was an accident overall. Yeah.
Well, Aluk?
I think she knew that the guy she was going to be going to this party with was...
Oh, no, I knew that. But I'm saying, like, she encountered him as an accident. Like, I just happened to come across that he lives in New York now. Like...
Okay. That I can go with. Okay, yeah, no, that's vague enough. But yeah, the whole thing with the befriending of the... Yeah.
Oh, no, that was for confound purpose,
oh,
for
like,
sure.
Oh, yeah, that's
on purpose, for sure.
Okay.
No, we're all in agreement there.
Okay.
But it doesn't do a good job of showing what we need to... There's a lot of stuff going on in this movie, and you're just like, okay, I don't know why.
Right.
And then, I don't know, it just doesn't follow through enough, personally. So overall, for me, it's a fail. I can't recommend this movie, unfortunately.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
None of us can. It looked really
sucks.
Right.
None of us sucks. We have to be more.
It sucks.
We have to be more dynamic than sucks, okay? This is a reviewing podcast.
It blows.
More dynamic than that. So I want to talk about the major problem. Let me know if you guys really agree with this, because I want you to try to see the movie I wished we were watching when I saw it. And by the way, I came into this movie knowing nothing. I was going to read the description on Amazon, but didn't end up reading it because I'm like, I'm just going to end completely fresh. I didn't even know Michael Shannon was in it. Anyway, so I think that the problem with this movie, the biggest problem of this movie, is that it chooses to go too much into Michael Shannon's point of view of the husband with this life that's being upturned, and there's some, you know, strife there going on with the wife having a more successful business than him, so I might have to move to California. There's a side plot going on. Like, they spent too much time there in service of a twist, of a surprise, in which you find out through him that not only does he recognize Rachel Weisz, what's her name? Alice. Fake name. That she recognizes Alice, but like the way he's portraying himself to recognize her is very mysterious to us, the audience. And it's like, it becomes a mystery for the audience. And I think the movie should never have done it that way. I think the movie should have done it completely or almost exclusively to Alice's point of view. That way we get to see her trying to get redemption, which is a much more emotional and cathartic response to a movie like this than it is a mystery, which ends up failing because we don't get enough.
Right. And then the only reason that they even do that whole Michael Shannon part is so later you can see that he kind of wants to get away from him and kind of become what Alice is doing, right?
Right.
But
it's not worth it. It's just like...
Which is why that one scene you were describing with Kathy Bates is the best scene because he's trying to slip into her role.
Exactly. Well, he does slip, right?
Yeah, he actually kind of makes it work. Yeah. And then he kind of takes himself back.
Exactly. But at the same time, it's just like... one scene is not worth it. I'm sorry to say it.
Right. I agree. Luke, what do you think of that?
I agree. That scene was a little unnerving. And he should not be doing this. So I'm sure there's a law against that.
Is it like the equivalent of impersonating an officer, you think?
Yeah. There should be something like that. Yeah.
You think so?
Huh. I would say
so. I don't know. I mean... he's making shit up. This woman might take it to heart. And
I mean, so are church people on TV. No one's taking them there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying. I think seen people like do this shit.
He's got you there.
The church people are saying shit?
And people that listen to them and they send money and they're like, oh, you're cured now. Oh, great, I'm cured. And really, I still have cancer. You know? Like that kind of shit, you know?
Yeah, the reap what you sow thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that's stupid.
We love John Oliver here. Anyway, I'm saying that seems like, I don't know if it's maybe somewhere in between that, right? It doesn't seem like a broken law, but maybe you can never be a doctor now, for real.
Yeah, I guess.
Right? If they catch you. But his advice sounded right to me. Yeah,
because you're not a doctor.
Did you know, sir?
I want to have a real doctor watch the scene and be like, no, dude, he's going to kill her. Dude, what is wrong with him?
Dude, her and Leonardo DiCaprio's character, Frank Abagnale, and Catch Me If You Can are the best fucking couple, right? Yeah. They can do anything, those two. They can conquer the world. They can replace the king and queen. Nobody would notice.
Right.
They have the documents. Okay. Hey, you know.
But I'm the queen.
Look at my hat.
The hell you are.
She don't sweat. They say heck.
Back to the movie.
Right.
Lackluster. That's the problem. And right. Like I said, and it doesn't follow through. Like, I agree with you 100% where if we had this follow through Alice's perspective in the movie, it would have just been a better movie, just because you would have been...
We would have seen a yearning. We would have been fascinated by her many lives. Right. I mean, it opens up with her being a stage magician in China, and she has that outfit. I mean, you're very confused. Or intrigued, maybe. Well, it's just an opening. It's a cold
opening. The opening was probably one of the better parts of the movie, because you're not sure. But then after that,
But it never followed through on that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because first you see, the two girls in the room, they're talking about what they want to do to it.
Right, yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm doing this, and this. Then you get that cool thing where she's a nurse, and, like, in a fucking ER unit.
Dude, her and Ben Affleck's the accountant also could be best friends.
Right.
I'm just putting together a lot of characters here that could really benefit.
But, yeah.
I mean, go figure. Right. Exactly. We talked about this also. It's like... she has an amazing ability of just kind of like being able to shift in and out of these different...
Ooh, mystique, but the long form
mystique.
These
different aliases, kind of like that show.
Alias. Elias? Oh, right, Alias, yeah.
Elias.
Yeah, I remember that
Close
one.
Enough.
I've only seen season one still. I never finished that show, really.
Too. Ditto.
That's funny. A lot of people are really big fans of that show. I just never... I don't know. Yeah, so I mean, we're all in agreement.
I just don't know what else to say about this movie.
I mean, like I said, I did like the performances. They were trying to do stuff, and I think that they did the best they could within the confines of the movie. And Rachel Weisz was good. Michael Shannon was always good. He's always stable. At least he's never bad. No kid. Hold on. Death approaches here. Ralph, say something.
Say something. Something about the movie.
Thank you.
Edit.
No, I'm not going to edit out. Ralph's kid, little Leo, is grabbing my mics for some reason. And I have to get away from him. So if you hear like a great little baby chanting in the background, toddler, that's why. But we're going to leave it in. He is cute.
It's real.
And we have to babysit.
It's real, kid.
He's so cute.
Yeah.
He wants your mic,
he wants
too.
Your orange, though.
No. Say please.
No, he's not going to say please.
Say please.
This is the... Okay, this is the... That's why he thinks I'm complete unknown. I think he hates it.
Yeah, it sucked, I agree.
Cockily goop?
He said something about blue.
No, don't touch it.
All right, that being said...
Oh, no, really.
Performances were good, but overall, just lackluster, like I said.
I wish I could say something about the directing or the editing, but it felt very just there to me. I can't.
Exactly.
I can't. This is a short review. You're just going to have it.
Oh, I knew it was going to be a short review. That's why I wrote the long intro.
I think that might be on... right? But if you are curious about it, there is... Like I said, there is a current... There's a cool, like, idea here, plot idea, concept, and I said good actors in it. So, like, it's not really that horrible. I just think it just fails. But maybe if you can't pass those failures, then, yeah, I recommend you watch it. But I really wouldn't recommend it to most people. Just because of, you know, very blah. So I think that is it for our review of Complete Unknown, and that is it for our show this evening. You have been listening to, what are we? Another Movie Podcast. Don't forget to send us feedback if you wish so at podmoviecast@gmail.com. And also, you know what, though? Even though we do have a way for you to donate cash or money, PayPal, whatever, to us, if you're not so inclined to, please offer us a review. Give us a review on iTunes, for it is the best way, or one of the best ways, to give us traffic to our feed, which we sorely need since we're a brand new-ish podcast. And there's a lot of movie podcasts out there, so... You know, any help will be appreciated. You can also follow me on Twitter at Armin Filmmaker. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Luke?
I'm going to be at Blind Noir.
Ruff?
I shall be at Gamer Ralph. Two R's and an F.
Right. You can also follow my movie watching habits at Letterboxd under the same name, Armin Filmmaker. You can also check me out on another podcast. I do another bi-weekly podcast on the supernatural called SOS-radio.com. All the information is there. We've been at it for over a year, so check out that stuff for your supernatural needs. Now, one more thing, a few more things actually here. We are a bi-weekly show. Don't forget that. We come out every other Friday. This comes out on the, what is it, 16th?
The one day more, of Star Wars.
A piece of news. Yeah, day Star Wars comes out. Luke, you will not be available for a few months. You're going to be out on work, traveling.
I will be in Colorado.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you want to mention where.
It's but a big state.
You're going to be in Colorado, a big state. Yeah, going to be hard to
in
find.
In a small town. Of
in the slopes of.
I'll choke you with this goddamn cable.
Oh, well, as long as it's goddamned. So he'll be in and out as far as reviews go. So it'll be Roth and myself helming this project.
I'll send smoke signals.
When will you be back again?
Maybe April.
Really? You don't know when?
Well, April-ish. We know-ish. Because he could be sent anywhere else.
I guess. Yeah. You're just like...
I'm a vagabond.
You're your job's bitch. That's what, nah. That's what I'm hearing. It's like American Honey. Anyway.
Except I get paid.
Okay, next time in 2 weeks, we'll be back.
And
of course.
Shower.
Okay, that's enough. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Like I said, I'm picking the last films. Shut up. Jesus fucking Christ. Shut the fuck up. Okay. Anyway, I'm thrown off. December 30th will be our next show. And I'm choosing the films we'll for real review La La Land.
For real.
For real this time. Because it'll be...
That was not my fault.
No, it's not your fault at all. But it's like...
Blame Hollywood.
You know, life.
Blame La La Land.
We'll also finally review Jackie as well.
That's my fault.
Yeah, Jackie as well, which is still in theaters right now. Unlimited, though, not everywhere. But if you're in a major city, most likely it's on you. And we'll also be reviewing a documentary that came out earlier this year, one that I've been really anticipating, but I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, so this will give me the excuse to do it.
Which one
is
it?
And it's called Life Animated, which is a documentary that I heard some great buzz coming out when it came out in the summer, I think, of this year. So, and that'll be our last main review show of the year. And January... This is the last piece of news. January tends to what, guys? Suck in movies. That's right.
And February.
Most of February. But February is reserved for a lot of other things. But February is when we come back in full style. But January, instead of reviewing films that we know we won't like and or catching up on stuff we missed, but we don't want to catch up too much. So instead, we're going to offer our top 10 selections of the year. Obviously, we're going to do our top 10 films of the year 2016. We're doing our top 5 games of the year because we are... a full spectrum type of reviewers. We sure. respect all forms of media and art. We're also doing our top 10 TVs, Rob. You and I are doing that. As well as our discoveries. And all that stuff is going to be...
Well, we don't want to include you in case if you can't make it. For
right.
Me. I'll hit top 5 at least.
No, 10 or nothing. So we'll do all that stuff for you guys. It's all going to come out in bonus episodes. For free for anyone. All in the month of January, as well as to expect any Oscar buzz coming out of January for nominations and February for the show. So that's it. And so that, my loyal cinephiles, I'm Oscar.
And Luke.
And Ralph.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. What the hell was that?